So I'd like to call this regular board meeting of SEPA to order. It's June 19th. We're in Wrangell at the Nolan Center. Would you please call the roll?
I will. Carl Amelon.
Here.
Andy Donato.
Here.
Robert Severson.
Present.
Jack Davies. Dick Kous.
Here.
Cliff Skillings.
Yes, ma'am.
Bob Lynn.
Here.
Robert Larson.
Here.
Steve Prysunka. Lisa Von Bargen.
Here.
Is there anyone else on the line that would like to identify themselves? No response, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Bring this item 1B, communications, lay on the table. Do we have anything for today's meeting? I didn't see anything that was open. Having none, let me turn this on. Having none, that brings us down to item 1C, disclosure of conflicts of interest. Is there anybody that has a disclosure at this particular point in time? Just so a little bit of housekeeping here, the acoustics in here are a little bit tough, so please speak up, use your microphone so that we can catch conversations as we move through the process. I know that everybody's busy. If you happen to get a cell phone call, you can ride and just leave and take care of that as you need to. So moving on, that brings us to 2, approval of the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda as is, or any amendments there that we need?
Move to approve the agenda, Mr. Chairman.
It's been moved. Discussion? Any items? Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Kous?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us down to item 3, which is persons to be heard. Is there anybody that wishes to speak to the board at this time? Is there anybody on the line? Hearing none, we'll close the persons to be heard and move on to 4, review and approval of minutes. Do I have a motion?
Yes. Mr. Chairman,
go ahead, Bob.
I move to approve the agenda as stated.
No, we're on to the minutes.
Oh, okay. I'll move to approve the minutes of SEPA's region regular meeting of February 28, 2019, and SEPA's special meetings of March 4, March 11, March 18, April 22, and May 29, 2019, respectively.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. The motion is to approve the minutes cumulatively. Are there any questions, corrections, additions? Seeing none, would you please call the roll, please?
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Kous?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That brings us on to item 5, financial report. Item A, CEO financial cover memo. Trey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome to Wrangell, everybody. Happy to be here again, and look forward to a day and a half of some meetings. So let's roll into some financials. I don't know if everybody's had an opportunity to review my cover letter. I'll say that in general terms, as we go through the finances, you'll see that we're kind of in a challenging time. Our revenues are down substantially, and due to the lack of sales, due to low reservoir levels. So as part of that effort, we've tried to reduce our expenses to offset that as much as we can, anticipating that challenge. So we'll go into greater detail here a little as I go through the financial package here. And, I will note that also our R&R expenditures, they're down a little bit from what we had budgeted, quite a bit. And some of that's due to the shift in the maintenance cycle to the fall from the spring. And then all these financials only cover a certain period. They don't quite wrap up the whole year. And as everybody knows, our activities increase right as we enter into the construction time. Of note, I will spend a little bit of time. You know, the agency, we did complete the $4.24 million bond transaction through the municipal bond bank on May 2nd. Essentially, that refinanced our 2009 bonds with a 2019 series. That saved the agency, and I'll say generally around $300,000 for that short duration of the remainder of those bonds. We haven't got the final numbers yet. We're still waiting on that final package. They've been kind of, say, slow getting that out, but should be getting that in the next week or two to get the final numbers. So that's a good thing. It did activate a few of the spring amendments that we've talked about that were in the indenture. I won't go over those again, but I'll just wait, I guess, Mr. Chair, until we get a motion on the table, and then I'll start through the package.
Thank you very much. Do we have somebody join us in online?
No, Bob, it was Carl. I got cut off and had to call back in.
Thank you, Carl. So at this point, we're looking for a motion for the disbursements.
Mr. Chair, I move to accept disbursements for February, March, April, and May 2019, totaling $1,853,143.81. And financial statements for February through April 2019 as presented.
Second. It's been moved and second. I think one of the corrections, that's January through April instead of February through April.
That's correct.
All right, thank you for that. It's been moved and seconded. Trey.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chair. So I guess I'll start off with just the disbursements. Typical package includes summary of the larger expenditures. It's got a summary of all the expenditures in the breakdown there. And usually, if we kind of have a threshold, if those expenditures are over 50 grand, then we'll put an extra footnote in there just to help you understand what that might have been for. But I think for the most part, the on the disbursements, the description of the vendor is fairly indicative of some of the work that was done. And does anybody have any questions on the disbursements, any particular ones that need additional clarity? All right, if not, then I'll just keep moving through this. So on page 25 of your packet, as I noted earlier, this particular graph provides a pretty clear picture on the revenue challenges and sales. You know, we're essentially a couple of months behind, for the most part, of historical trends. And if you roll into page 26, that just gives you a breakdown for the individual communities we serve, and also all the total of power sales. Page 28 gives you a good overview of you know, how we're trending there.
So, just to interrupt.
Sure.
We do have a new board member with us, and I think this is your first full meeting.
I was at the February meeting.
Okay, at the February meeting. I just wanted to make sure that you're comfortable with all this and understand how we get to all this and make sure that it's explained.
Yeah, so try to stop me along the way, and just a little preface, as we go through this whole meeting, we'll be spending a lot of extra time, as we typically do. We'll go through every R&R project, kind of give a little history, background, status, and where we see that going, just as a refresher for folks, because we don't meet that often.
So our cumulative budget is pretty much what we projected for that period of time, correct? So.
Yes.
So the last time we really were on it was sometime in October, November.
Yes.
I read that line the other night.
Yeah, so as you can see, the revenue starts separating from your budget, and you get a pretty good gap there. So moving on to page 29. and the grant summary. And we'll be talking about this a little bit more in executive session on some of our hydrosite initiatives and such. But this is just an overview. We have, the agency has one remaining grant, DCCED grant, with about $475,000 remaining in it. We were able to get an extension through June 2020 to utilize the remaining funds in that grant. It gives you also a note on this particular page. It does give you a breakdown for the grant billing structure. Those were, I'll say, just rough categories, and we do have some flexibility to move the monies around in those categories so we can use them to the best use of the agency. Moving on to page 30. So we had May at the front there because that's the most recent numbers, the most recent closed months, April. So that's why you have these details here on the April financial review. And this pretty good snapshot here. You can see just month over month, April over the budget actuals. We're off of $180,000. The year-to-date sales versus the budget, that's really the tattletale there. It says, we're about $2.5 million under what we originally predicted for revenue sales. And then just broken down in the sales format to give you a little different perspective. And also a note on the bottom, the admin and operating expenses. I'll say we've been... when we saw this trend starting back several months ago, we pretty much ratcheted back expenditures as much as we could. I've mentioned to the board previously that we have deferred some of our larger expense items that we were planning. As an example, we had almost $500,000 in brush clearing planned for this year, so we did not do that. We'll obviously have to do that at some point. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we get in the budget. Those are the big items. I'll just note there's on the bottom there's a footnote that shows that the member diesel reimbursement, which we'll get to under old business, that was actually recorded in February and March. We anticipate that's going to happen, and that would have been the months that occurred in, so that's when it would be booked. So that's it. So moving in into the detail of the financials, I won't go into too much detail here unless somebody has a specific question. On page 31, a good place to look at is you go down to accounts receivable and where we were in April last year. We were at 1.344 and we're about $200,000 in the hole for this April. So. Those type of things tend to jump out a bit on your financials. If you if you move over to the next page 32.
Mr. Chair, may I ask
a question before? Yes, go ahead, right ahead, Lisa. Turn your mic on, please, if you could.
Maybe tilt it down.
Tilt it down a little bit so we can hear you.
I thought I was organized, apparently not.
And Carl's on the phone, so speak up a little bit if you could.
Carl, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. So the question I have is, when will the new bond stuff, you'll switch over to 2019 bonds here, and you will keep these other line items in place, and we'll just add to that under the trustee funds?
So the 2009s will go away.
Right,
they'll be
exactly.
Completely defeased. And so then you'll see the 2019s, 2019 slide in there, and that should be happening here in June. Right, or July, June, July.
Yeah, it's actually, some of it starts in the May financials, which aren't in here.
Right.
So the 2019 bonds were issued in May,
right.
But the 2009 bonds weren't paid off until June, so it crosses over a bit.
Okay, thanks.
So those funds are currently being held in escrow,
right.
Until they're eligible for that refunding, so. We would just have the opportunity to execute the bond sale a little bit ahead of time. Good question. That's where I was just also going to draw your attention to under long-term liabilities. on page 32, and that gives you kind of a breakdown of the bond series there as well, and our costs associated and the existing debt for the organization. All right, so I'm not going to go through the detail unless somebody has a specific question in a particular area. I'm happy to turn to that. Does anybody have any questions on the April finances as shown there? Maybe the last thing I'll call out is on page 38, if you just look at, there's a couple of things kind of near the bottom there, non-operating expense, obviously depreciation expense, that's pretty significant, and also our net income is pretty significant, being negative 1.796 million. So moving on to January, March. So this time we packaged this up a little bit different for the board. We did the most recent month, and then we had a whole full quarter. So we Kay condensed that into a quarterly statement just to make it a little easier for the in a little shorter packet too for those details. But anyway, this it paints a similar picture, kind of leading up to April with regard to revenues and such. Any questions on the quarterly statement? Sure.
So the heading on principal, we'll just look at page 38. So is that, that's not really April 2018, is it?
You are
in the blue. That's a correction. All right.
Thank you for bringing that up and then too as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Trey, the question I have is, so the January through March actual at 1276, I'm on the bottom table on page 39,
mm-hmm.
Is very commensurate with last year, except this year's budget was almost twice that. And without going through all the detail, are there things specific? I know you have tried to curtail spending, mm-hmm. but can you just quickly, why was the anticipated budget for administrative and operating so much higher for this year as compared to last year's expenses of the same quarter?
I'm not able to get into the accounting program right now, but I'm thinking that the $500,000 for the ROV inspection of the submarine cables, I think that was expected to be paid in that period.
Okay.
And we just paid it last week.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, that, if you guys recall, we were waiting on the report. It took a long time to get that report done. So that was a large chunk of expenditure there.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Good question. Any other questions while we're there? Okay. And so I'm still looking at the quarterlies here, and I'll direct your attention to page bottom of page 43. And this is another indication of our overall finances for the quarter. If you look at the bottom, you can see that the net income's 1.7 and change in the negative, and last year is 1.4 in the positive. So, you know, over $3 million difference there, and that's in that time period. So, pretty significant. So, that would take us on to the R&R stuff.
So, Trey, going back to 43 and with the revenues being in the negative, and as we move forward with projects and other things that are going on, what accounts are we using to backfill those lost revenues?
So right now, in this last fiscal year, and the current one, I should say, we're still in it, you know, we had, I'll say, some monies in the revenue fund. We're still covering that with revenues in the revenue fund. As we present the budget, in looking forward, obviously, if we continue to have shortfalls for any extended period of time, it's going to require one of two things. First, you'll have the rate stabilization fund that you could feed into that to help supplement that. If the continued period of reduced sales continues for any length of time, and there's $2 million in that particular fund, and if we end up utilizing that fund and we still are short, then you'll be looking at a rate increase to cover operating expense and capital.
Thank you.
All right. So we're moving on to R&R, capital project summary, which starts on page 44. And so, as previously noted, we'll be going through these R&R projects in really great detail as we go through the budget. But I will note, you can see on the budget versus expenditures in the second and third column on page 44 that you can see there's a number of projects that we haven't spent much money on. And some of that is due, depending on the particular project, that is going to get pushed into the second half of the construction season this year, possibly due to maybe it requires a plant outage. And since the diesel run times and things, we pushed a lot of that stuff out to accommodate that. And then some of this stuff got restructured a little bit as far as like our bidding process, namely the station service switchgear. So that's kind of those in a nutshell. You got the turbine shutoff valves. Those are in process right now, actually completed. Disconnect switch for the bushings, the helipads, the hydraulic power unit, mark balls, the pier ramp, and also the station switchgear, as I mentioned, and the stuffing box for Swan Lake. So. Anyway, those are just some things that kind of gives you a feel for where we're at. We've spent under $1 million so far in FY19. Obviously, this is going to jump up a bit as the fiscal year closes out, because it'll capture the front end of the construction season and on a budget of 3.1. So I'll roll through that stuff fairly fast. Does anybody have any questions on any specific areas there that need answering now, or you think it perhaps might be covered a little bit later?
Any questions?
One question.
Yeah.
Is our fiscal season is July 1 to June 30th?
Yes. So that's our current, and the board recently took a vote to shift that. So the budget we're going to present is going to be from July 1 through December 31st. So we'll have a short year that's going to cover 6 months, and then that will put us on a new cycle for a calendar
traditional year. Calendar year.
Yeah. And thanks for bringing that up. I think the stuff I just ran through, especially with the R&R, illustrates very well why we're doing this, because everything lands right in the middle of our construction season, and you end up, you shift stuff from one budget to the next budget just because there's a month or two change. And I think it's just going to be timed a lot better, and especially when we're trying to get work done out in the field at the same time we're trying to prepare the budget. So there's some nuances, I think, for business processes that this is going to help us significantly. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So anything else on disbursements? Any questions? Hearing none, we have a motion on the floor to accept disbursements as presented. Please call the roll.
Lynn?
Yes.
Von Bargen?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Siebertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for running through those and the financial and R&R reports. So that brings us down to item 6, CEO report. Trey.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Chair. So my report, I kept it fairly brief, but there are some important things in here I just want to kind of verbalize For the record, for some folks that may not delve into the board packet so much, I think obviously there's some issues that have to do with the budget for the state that are still emerging under my external affairs, and we'll see how all that plays out. I think there's I think the overarching thing there is it does provide I'll say greater uncertainty as we look at how we're, what projects we want to develop and the timing of them. I was just reading on the front page there yesterday about the shipyard in Ketchikan, and they've ratcheted back from 200 plus people back to 90, and they don't have any big ship projects on the horizon. We've got major cuts to the ferry system, and some of these other things, there's cost shifting potentially onto the municipalities and how that might affect those communities. So that introduces a lot of uncertainty on how, what our load growth is going to be and the timing of that load growth. Are those short-term things where, it kind of resets things in the community and then it allows us to build on, or does it actually cause major out-migration? And then we struggle for several years to get that back. So those are some of the things that made me really nervous when we start trying to time a new project. And we'll be talking a lot more about that. But it's always something I think it's just good to point it out and keep people thinking about those impacts and how you might see that affect your community and then trickle into the agency as well. One bill that did emerge, right in the last week or two, was HB 151, and this was a horrible bill that came out, and it was targeted for the rail belt, and I've included a copy of the bill in here, and some of my other connections up north in the rail belt, I heard that I wasn't really happy about it and actually reached back to me and contacted me to start putting together a committee substitute just because they know that I'll oppose it and I'll get the bill killed. So we've been working to put together some new language that will do a carve-out for the agency. And this bill even went to the point where it essentially took our decision making for new projects and gave it to the RCA, even though we're not regulated. So there's a couple of trying to attack this in a couple of different ways because I want to make sure we have a robust enough carve out. And one of them is going to be, one of them that's proposed currently in a CS is. Perhaps a limitation on megawatts for a system. So let's just say SEPA's output is less than 100 megawatts. That would be one carve out. And then also another specific carve out that that ties back into the statute that gives us the exemption from regulation. Not to say that the RCA still doesn't have some oversight over us. They do. But in these particular instances, we don't want them dictating what we do. And plus, just as a reminder to folks, we don't want to fall under regulation because it'll cost a lot more money. We'll probably have to hire another person just to do filings and tariffs and all these other things and rate cases, and it gets really expensive really fast, and you get bogged down in the politics of the RCA. So this is a really important matter. I think they're going to be working on it through the summer. And it's obviously something that I'm dialed into, and I'll have my thumb on that pretty hard, and we'll have to work it all through next year to make sure that it doesn't turn into some beast and we end up being collateral damage.
So knowing that we are presently outside of some of the regulations, what was the intent of this in regard to what's going on in the rail belt?
So the intent is to try to get people to work together up in the rail belt for, I'll say, the common good of the folks up there. And there's also, I think, where this kind of got some traction was with Chris Rose in the REAP organization. and that tends to be populated mostly by IPPs, independent power producers, and they're trying to angle into the market, and essentially is trying